Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Tosh Taylor.
And I'm Jenna Morton. And on this episode, we are talking everything maple. And we have brought in a maple expert for this episode. We have Kim Renton with us. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Expert, no.
Compared to us, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But we can share some information, that's for sure.
Fantastic. So some people who are listening and watching will have already right away picked up on your last name. But for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about why we're calling you a maple expert.
Well, the maple syrup camp that I am affiliated with happens to be run by my husband. We have had it in our family for five generations, so we can date back to the 1800s.
Wow.
So the Renton name has been around in maple syrup for a very long time. And we're pleased each year to see a few more people come through and visit and talk and ask questions and just be able to share knowledge and experience and meet new people while we're there for the month. It's a year-long thing that we have to do. Mm-hmm. But we're only there for a short time, for 2 months, to meet with people.
Yeah, I think people in New Brunswick kind of always forget how short the season is for the public to come and see what you do, but also forget that it is a year-long process for the families involved.
Because you have to cut wood and be prepared for that, because of course our evaporator is wood-fired. It still gives it that rustic smell and taste that people seem to find that they like. You've got maintenance of your forest. Any of the new growth has to be cut. Pick things up so that when you're walking through with snowshoes on, you're not tripping over little branches and things like that that are in the way. Then when it comes time right now, they are repairing lines that have been damaged over the winter by animals that are chewing on them, deer, moose, squirrels, things like that. Reconnecting all those, picking up dead wood that's fallen and broken the lines down, and then we'll get into doing some tapping. Once the weather looks like it's ready to change. Everybody's thinking it's going to be a little early this year, but we won't know until May. Then we'll know.
I was just going to say, are you finding that there's more of that kind of debris work this year? Because we've had a lot of windstorms, mm-hmm. and a lot of, like, I know, like, in my yeah. yard, I've seen lots more little twigs on
yes.
the ground than usual.
We were fortunate because last year, everyone was complaining about when the big storm went through, and some people couldn't even operate last year because of all the windfall that had broken the lines and things like that. Mm-hmm. That didn't bother us. We missed it. But we're finding a lot of little broken ends this year because we've had the ice on the trees, mm-hmm. and that makes a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. When you married into the Renton family, did you know what you were getting into?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That part I did know. My mother-in-law was still, of course, very actively involved at that point. I was working full-time. Then as our family came along, I was home with them, and so I was taking children in tow and going into the woods and doing my thing. But through the weekend, it was just too many people to have the children underfoot. As they got older, Mom decided it was time to retire, and it was dropped in my lap. So it's continued on a family affair. It's a thing of love. You can't do it for... People say, oh, you make so much money in here. I'm sorry. But it is difficult to put in a full day of work and then come home and tend to family and tend to all the household things you have to do. Work in the weekends and then start it all over again come mm-hmm. the next morning. So it's pretty labor intensive. By the end of it, we get a little slap happy. And but we still manage to put a smile on our face and keep going.
Awesome.
Talk a little bit about that love for it. What exactly can you put your finger on? What brings out those smiles? Because it's not just you and your family. Like this, every maple camp seems to have that passion at the heart of it.
It's, I believe it's the fact that it's heritage. you are still doing things now, even though we don't do it the way great-great-great-grandfather did it. We're not using the horse and the sled. We're not using the good old-fashioned buckets. We've moved more into the tube. It's carrying on the tradition, because my son was tapping the other year, and he was putting in a tap that was about this far from a tap from a previous year. And the tap was so old, he said that could have been great-great-grandfather's tap.
That's cool.
So even to him, it was a sense of heritage. And now our grandson is in there, and he's very much involved and wants to get doing things. Whatever Papa's doing, he's going to do too, right? And keep it going that way. I think it's heritage. Papa always said it was something to do when the spring came. But then again, once I realized how much year-round work there is to it, it's not just spring.
Yeah.
But it's a sign of new growth, a sign of new birth, of the life coming out of the trees again and becoming, it's the beginning for them. Because soon after that come the leaves. And then we're back in that glorious weather that's without snow.
Yes. My favorite time.
Yeah.
Can you explain to a lot of people, because some of us didn't grow up where most of Canada's maple syrup is made, what's the process? Because you have your taps, you have your buckets here, but there's a lot of work that goes into it even once it comes out of the tree. It doesn't come out as maple syrup, my friends. I'm sorry. But there's a lot more work that goes into it after that. Can you explain, just for the layman, how that works?
You can't just turn the tap on and pour it on your pancakes. No, sorry, that doesn't work.
No,
very sticky, so, not very tasty.
Not yummy.
We have to start off with the weather being correct. Okay, you need those warm, sunny days, cool, frosty nights. I always tell the children, it's like when you get out in the playground and you want to start shedding your coat, but then by later in the day, you want to snuggle it back in again. So you need to have that sunshine that's going to dry, because the sap has to come up and down the tree and come out through the spile. So our first thing that we have to do is either be connected to pipeline to be able to bring it down to us, or the good old-fashioned buckets. In the ridge where we operate, we still have one person who uses nothing but cans. And so, he laughs at us because we're all
modern
working. Yeah. We're all working with this stuff, and he's doing it that way. And it's labor intensive to do it the old fashioned way. But it's everybody's preference, right?
Yep.
So anyway, once we get that sap, you'll have a taste of it, and it's just like sweet water. Mm. Concentration needs to be a lot thicker than that. So we're going to take, of course, and move it to the evaporator. And the evaporator is going to boil and thicken. They have their thermometers, they have their ways of checking. That's the master producer there. And when it hits that right temperature, we know that is then maple syrup. So we can either bottle it, or we can take and we can do something else with it. We can cook it some more in a smaller pan, let it cool, stir it, and then it's going to become butter, maple butter. You can spread it like peanut butter on any of your bread, toast, crackers.
Eat it in chocolate.
In a spoon.
Right off the spoon. Yeah.
Yes. I've had people that come in and said, do you have a spoon to go with this?
Just going to eat it on the way home.
A little intense. A little intense. If we wanted a little bit different product, it's still the same process, but takes a little bit longer, a little bit more elbow work to it. And this time we're going to pour it into molds, and that would be your cream. So you're going to eat that more like fudge.
That's my favorite.
Somebody said, well, can you do something else to it? We used to hear that you used to be able to grate it. Well, see, when it was called maple sugar, they would grate it.
Okay.
And they could use it on their cereal or something like that. With us, we will just make it soft enough that you're going to be able to eat it like fudge.
Okay.
Because we actually do make a granulated sugar as well.
Yeah.
The third thing that we'll do is we'll take the syrup and we'll cook it the longest to the hottest temperature, pour it on snow or an ice table, whichever you happen to have handy, And of course, that will make the hard maple candy, which we put still in birch barks that they make through the winter time down on the stove downstairs in the basement. And they'll break these pieces. So when you pour it, it's like a large piece of glass that's laying on the snow. You break into little pieces and put it into the birch barks. And then you want to just suck on that like a hard candy. Mm-hmm. If you stop at the in-between stage, we'll get our taffy, which is what you're going to roll on the stick, which is everyone's favorite when they come to visit the camp.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of lineups for taffy sticks.
Yes, very iconic New Brunswick in my mind.
Yes. Absolutely.
The snow and the maple taffy on the little, you know, the wooden stick rolling it up, and then it's just everywhere.
Yes.
Because generally I'm there with children, so yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the adults are a little bit less messy. Sometimes.
No.
It is a messy treat, but it's well worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely. I'm looking for the technical stuff here, because it takes to get your bottles here that you sell and all of the other products that you're talking about. Like, we're not talking a bucket full, right? Oh. Like it's tons and tons and tons, right?
That was the important thing that I missed. It's a 40-to-1 ratio.
Whoa. Whew.
So we would have to have had 40 of these buckets to get one bucket of syrup.
Wow.
So quite often, like when we do have children in and we'll count off like 20 kids, and we would give like each one a bottle and say, okay, if each one of you had a clear bottle of liquid from the tree, the sap, and then we took and cooked it, how many bottles would we get? Well, they'd have twice as many in all this. And when I tell them one, they're rather surprised that it takes that much.
Yeah.
So even though you may walk through in places where there are buckets, you're seeing buckets overflowing. Oh, they're overflowing and all this. Yeah.
But someone who's doing
a lot more.
Yeah, someone that's doing it with the buckets, he's probably making that more for family, right? Than selling it retail.
A little smaller scale.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. It would be so work intensive. Yeah. Yes. Oh my goodness.
Because it's a matter of, we used to have some on pipeline, some on buckets, and it'd be nothing to hear at 4 o'clock when you think your day should be done. Oh, we have to go gather.
Right.
And they'd, you know, take the tractor down with the big, large collecting bucket on the back, and they'd be using those big white pails that you could buy at different hardware
like
stores.
Big, like, 11, right?
Yeah. And lugging through the snow and all this kind of stuff, and do that for a couple of hours. So it's every year that I hear that there's more and more that's going on pipeline, I'm happy.
Yeah. It makes sense.
I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the children that come through and how that led to you creating a book. You wrote a book about this process.
Okay. This was actually something that became the result of preschool children coming in. I didn't want to get very technical with them, but give them a little story. So we went through and did it, and I had my son posing in pictures, because at that time he was about 5 years old. So we were posing and doing all these things just to have something. Mm-hmm. Well, the first time that I presented it, it went over like a lead balloon, because I don't speak French. Mm-hmm. And it was a French kindergarten or preschool that was coming through, and they didn't tell me.
Oh, no.
Oh,
oh no.
So it was definitely lost in translation along the way. And my heart kind of sunk. So I thought, well, I'll try it again. And this time I made sure it was an English group that was coming through. And it just didn't have it. So, of course, I did what we all do when we're trying to do something artistic. I lifted it into the corner.
Very true. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, didn't work once, I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sorry, you know, it's not going to work. So then time went by, and I was back into, I was working in a school as an education assistant. And that year in grade 8, we were talking about mindset. And they were going through and trying to decide something that they could work on using this new mindset process. Mm-hmm. I can't do this yet. So, of course, I had to be involved, and I thought, I am a writer, but I haven't published anything yet. So that was my goal set. And you had to set your goals to work towards it. And the teacher at the time, Jeff Reardon, was very very conscious of getting the children to set mini goals that are approachable. We decided to, this is what I want to do. I wasn't very good with carrying through with my end. I was too busy helping the children with their end. So it was once again in the corner. A little while later, it turned out I was off on medical leave for a little bit of time. Once I got the medical issue straightened out, I was ready to go back to work, and my doctor decided, no, you're not going back yet. You're going to take a little while longer. And now she said, I want you to concentrate on you, something you've always wanted to do, and you've been so busy doing for everyone else that you haven't done it. So I thought, oh, maybe I should dig out my writing. And my children were supporting me with this. They gave us a great idea. Mom, you can do this. Oh, but nobody's going to read it. So I started a blog, got wonderful response back from people with the blog, gave me a little more courage. Still, okay, we were getting close to March. I was getting close to going back to work. Still hadn't worked on the book. And over that summer, I said, okay, here's my new goal. At least submit it.
Right.
Don't expect anything. I submitted it by the time we were ready to go back to school in September. It was perfect timing. It went to the right person at the right time who had a vision for it that I did. And within 6 months, it was in my hands.
No way.
It usually takes 2 years to put a picture.
I just got like tingles.
It was the right thing. And when we were looking at people to do the artwork for us, the illustrations, she actually had never been to a sugar camp, but we loved the softness to her pictures, mm-hmm. and just the way that she could identify different things. We sent her a bunch of pictures, wonderful Dropbox things.
Yes.
They're
yes.
great. She sent back, and I've talked to other authors who put out children's pictures book. They have never seen their pictures until the final copy was in their hands. I had a chance to see them all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she had final approval and with the publisher, but I could make input. So even to details with the curtains, my curtains have little maple leaves in the window.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, if we could do this, can we do this? And she went, sure. And so we corresponded, you know,
wow.
back and forth that way.
Yeah.
And the story is basically based on my youngest son.
Mm-hmm.
This is our camp, and if you were to stand in front of our camp,
this is exactly
you
what
will
it looks
recognize
like.
The camp.
The blue building with the big smiley face.
Yeah. It's what is interesting is when somebody comes in and they start looking through the book, and all of a sudden they get to this page and they go,
I've been there.
But that's here. And then they look in the back and they go, and that's you.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
So, but, and it takes it through the family. You know, it's homage to my in-laws, who of course taught me what was going on and how we can pass it on and how each member of our family just falls into doing something. Mm-hmm. And now even our grandson is joining in, and he can tell you quite a bit, and he's just 5.
Wow.
The same way as Ben was when
yeah.
I first did this.
Holy.
So, you know, the mindset through the whole thing, we eventually got a finished product. It's been worn out. The copy has been worn out. There was a person that was gifted one, and then they contacted us, and they wanted another one because their copy was worn.
love
and
that.
The funny thing was, when Ben arrived with it, the little boy looked at him and he went, "That's you," and he had to have his picture taken with him.
Cute.
Just to be able to say that. So we're you know, we really love the timing of the whole thing.
Obviously meant to be.
Yeah, I love that. I love how that helps so many people get grounded to this place and to understand that, you know, these things are real, not just maple syrup and the work that goes into it, but the idea of being an author or an illustrator, that these are all, this is here, this is happening.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's very rewarding, I think, to see how everyone's thought process was the same. My illustrator, my publisher at the time, we were all on the same page, and that's what made it go so quickly. And what she found is, if she was working in a library, school library, part-time before she was a publisher, and there were no books, and she was checking, and there still were no books in the children's library that had to do with maple syrup around here.
Right.
It was either historically, and they were coming with horse and wagon, or it was from a different area, and they're using all different kinds of things. Now, you know, we have the older things that we're doing. We have some new things incorporated. Those get a little technical to explain to children, so we'll stick with the way it goes this way. But I've had adults say, I didn't know you had to go through all that to get it. So children and adults can learn at the same time.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's why I had you explain the steps, because so many people would not understand how much work your family puts into getting it to their supper table.
Yes.
And their breakfast table and what have you. So it is a lot of work. And even though I didn't grow up here in maple syrup capital, I did grow up in the part of Ontario where they make maple syrup. So I had kind of an appreciation for it. But coming out here and like taking my kids to the sugar camp, that wasn't something that we did growing up. Being able to take our kids to these, it's definitely something that people look forward to a little bit too early every year. that first warm day comes and you go, oh yeah, it's time to go out. Yeah. It's not.
No. When generally is maple season in New Brunswick? Because it's not an exact science, but
exactly.
Generally.
It usually mid-March to mid-April is what it is. So we say, start watching the newspapers or the radio or TV when it gets to the end of March break for us here in New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. And then once you get to St. Patrick's Day, things are usually kicking off quite nicely. And then we usually finish up in the middle of April. So, but they want that first. They want the first bit. So I
absolutely.
Said, okay. I said,
absolutely.
Somewhere between March break and St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. And if people wanted to find your camp and find your book, where can they do that?
Okay. If you want more information on the camp, you can go to Rent Brothers Family Camp Facebook page, and Kate's working on it now too. They keep on top of the questions. They try to keep videos uploaded so that you can see some little things that are going great with technology.
Yeah.
Not the mother. And the book we'll have available at the camp, or if they just want to drop me an email. Through Facebook, I should say, would probably be the easiest way. I have Kim Renton author Facebook page. They can reach me there. They can reach me through the Sugar Camp page. And we'll have them there at the camp, hopefully. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Fantastic. We'll make sure all that information is in the show notes if you need a refresher to find it. And we hope you all get out and enjoy some aspect of maple season this year. Thank you so much for coming in, Kim.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.